I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about those Hoosiers and those Americans who are squeezed between the responsibilities of raising children and helping aging parents. We're going to talk about the sandwich generation. We're going to discuss the challenges that generation faces and some ways to meet those challenges. My guests will be Indiana State AARP Director June Lyle and Dr. Ellen Miller, Director of the University of Indianapolis' Center for Aging and Community. And, of course, you. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Limits is made possible by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu. And by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the sandwich generation, the folks who have to balance responsibilities between raising children and helping to take care of aging parents. If you would like to join the conversation today, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are June Lyle, who is the state director for AARP. June, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. And Dr. Ellen Miller, who is with the University of Indianapolis' Center for Aging and Community. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, June, I'm going to start with you first. Give me a definition of the sandwich generation.
We're talking about people who are raising a child under the age of 18 or supporting a grown child and who also have a parent age 65 plus. So we know that that is actually about half of people in their 40s and 50s are in that situation where they really are sandwiched between the responsibilities of taking care of young children or grown children who still need financial support and aging parents who increasingly need more support from their grown children.
And Ellen, how many of these people are there?
Well, I'm not sure about the raw number of people that are out there, but it is about 50% of adults in their 40s and 50s in the United States right now who fall into this category. So it's a huge number of adults who are sharing these responsibilities.
What are the challenges that these folks face? I'll start with you on that one, Ellen. I think we could probably talk for quite a while on that.
Absolutely. I think there are different categories of challenges. Certainly there are financial challenges, especially if the sandwich generation person is providing financial support, which many of them are, to both their parents, to children under the age of 18. And recently, probably the biggest part of the growth of the sandwich generation is providing support to adult children, especially in the last 5 years or so when it's been so difficult for adult children to find work.
Yeah, with the economic and job slowdown.
Exactly.
2007, 2008.
So financial challenges, I think the emotional challenges with two generations on either side, depending on you for emotional support as well, and just the time crunches, I think, that people run into. So there's a huge amount of just stress and strain on the person who's trying to take care of both children and adults, who then, in turn, is not probably taking very good care of themselves sometimes. So there are health stresses as well that come from trying to serve this middle role.
June, what you obviously work with folks in this situation all the time. what are the primary challenges or problems that you hear about?
Well, I think Ellen hit on a number of them. There's a financial dynamic, there's an emotional dynamic, and I think it's important to remember that this is a group of folks that are starting to think about retirement security in their 40s and 50s. So hopefully they've been thinking about it. And retirement is becoming more challenging for everybody for a variety of reasons. The economic downturn that we already talked about, the fact that traditional pensions, as we've known them, really are sort of going the way of the dinosaur. So this is all happening within a context where people are already feeling financially stressed just for themselves as individuals, and then to be taking on the challenges of supporting adult children or supporting adult parents. The one other piece that I would mention, I think Ellen alluded to it, is many of these folks in their care for their adult parents are actually serving as caregivers. And we know that caregiving is a hugely wonderful thing that can mean a whole lot for the quality of life for our older citizens, but it does take a toll on the caregiver, both health-wise and financially, and in terms of just having the time to do other things that people want to do in their lives. So all of these sorts of concerns that people are dealing with are wrapped up in the sandwich generation.
We are talking about the sandwich generation today on No Limits. If you are a member of that generation, obviously, if you've got children at home that you're supporting and you're helping with aging parents, we'd love to hear from you, and you can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Is this, June, is this a relatively new phenomenon? I mean, if you look back in terms of social histories, you know, you don't see people in the 1920s or 30s talking about sandwich generation, but that notion of extended families, particularly in rural communities, was much more common.
Yes, and I suspect that there were much more of an intergenerational focus in our history, where you had families that were living all in the same community, and that was sort of the expectation. And I think maybe some of the challenges weren't as extreme as they are now for some of the financial reasons that we've already talked about. The Pew Research Center has done analysis that indicates that the number of people who are taking care of, in particular, adult children, has gone up in the past 7 years, from 2005 to 2012, fairly significantly. So while this is probably something that's been happening for quite a long time, I think the economic downturn really threw this into sharp relief for a lot of families and put some additional stresses onto them.
Well, so Ellen, June just alluded to the fact that in earlier parts of this country's history, families would stay in the same area, but now that, you know, distance is much more, people are much more migratory than they have been, and transient. Does that add to the stresses too?
I think so. For example, my husband and I have parents who live in Wisconsin and who live in North Carolina, and all of them are in their 80s, and so we feel very fortunate to have them, but pulled in different directions to try to make sure that we're spending enough time with them, providing support for them. So the distance that many people live from, especially their parents, really creates, I think, an additional stress just in terms of trying to make sure that you're doing enough and being there. It certainly helps if there are siblings to share that role with aging parents, but it does create a little bit of a stress just to be at a distance. I think another thing is that back in the 20s and 30s, you have to think about the lifespan, and people didn't live as long, and so we get to enjoy many more years with our parents and older adults in the community, but it does create that period of time where they may be less able to take care of themselves and really need the support of families.
We are talking about the sandwich generation, the challenge of raising children and providing help for aging parents here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I have three young children, twins, and a mother who just recently passed from Alzheimer's disease. She died back in October.
But oh, I'm
suffered
sorry.
For a lo-
I'm sorry.
That's okay. She suffered for a long time, and it was hard to find affordable in-home care, and also, more importantly, people who were educated and knew how to take care of someone with dementia. We went through a few caregivers that did not work out at all because I wasn't educated on what was really needed or didn't really know much about the disease. So I was wondering if you knew of any resources that could help other people who may have been in a similar situation.
Thanks very much for the call, and I am sorry for your loss. Suzanne, we'll try to get an answer for you.
Thanks.
Okay. June?
Well, I certainly sympathize with Suzanne's situation, and we hear about the frustrations with trying to find good quality in-home care. We do know that most people, as they age, that's where they want to receive care, is in their homes and communities, and so that was great that you were able to help provide that for your mother. But it is challenging. If people are looking for that kind of care, one of the first resources that they can go to is eldercare.gov to be able to try to find elder care resources. And then I would also suggest AARP has a suite of resources for caregivers to help think through all the things that go along with caregiving, including how to provide good care for somebody who's dealing with dementia, how to deal with some of the emotional stresses that go along with that. And those resources can be found at aarp.org/caregiving. But this is something that we're hearing from our members all across the country all the time who are really struggling with these issues.
Is there a gap here in sort of our I don't even know, social education, or at least the kind of structure of preparation? We spend an awful lot of time encouraging people to prepare for retirement, for example, and to get ready for that stage of their lives. We don't hear nearly as much about, okay, you need to prepare for that time when you're likely to be having to balance responsibilities, you know, not just provide for yourself, but provide for children, possibly provide for the generation ahead of you. Do we need to give more thought to that than we currently do, Ellen?
I think so. I think that's two parts to my answer. I think one of the challenges is that I don't know that many of us are doing a good enough job of thinking about our retirements beyond thinking about the financial aspects of making sure we have enough money. But what about all of the other aspects of retirement in terms of our social and emotional and health care support, really thinking through the what ifs in terms of making sure that things are laid out if we do not want to become dependent on children for care. The other part of what you're suggesting is for us to really think through as families what it is that's going to happen when our parents are older and we as kids who are in the sandwich generation have kids and have family parental responsibilities. So I think a lot of it happens within a family organization to be able to communicate well among family members, have family meetings, be able to sit down and talk about these things are not surprises. We shouldn't be surprised when our 80-year-old parents begin to have health issues or when our children are having challenges. So being able to think through and plan very logically for the what ifs, I think, is a really effective thing. And I don't know that many families do that. They don't want to talk about it. And so they don't.
We are talking about the sandwich generation, the challenges those of us who have who are raising both children and helping with aging parents face. We've gotten a question from a listener via Facebook, and if you want to connect with us via Facebook, you can do so at WFYI. Robert says, are there benefits for my parents getting health insurance through AARP as opposed to signing up for the Affordable Health Care Program? Thank you.
Well, it would really depend on their individual situation, but there are resources out there. Partly depends on their age and whether they're eligible for Medicare or whether they would need to purchase or would make sense for them to purchase health insurance on the exchange. The best place that I can suggest that they go is a website that AARP has that's called healthlawanswers.org, and you can really go in.
Go ahead and give them that URL again.
Okay. Healthlawanswers.org, and you can put in some personal information, age and that kind of thing about your parents. It'll ask you a few questions about them and then help take you through the process about what might be the best approach for your parents.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We really do want to hear from you. If you are facing the kind of challenges we are talking about, we would love to hear from you. My guests are June Lyle, who is the State Director for AARP, and Dr. Ellen Miller, who is with the University of Indianapolis's Center for Aging and Community. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about the sandwich generation, those Hoosiers, those Americans who have both children and aging parents that they're trying to provide some aid and support for. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I had more comment and slash question, but I'm a perfect example of the sandwich generation. I'm one of six children, and my parents never really financially provided for themselves for retirement. My father passed away, and now I just have my mother. My mother had surgery, and right after the surgery, could not work anymore, and so had to have someone take care of her. So she moved in with myself and my husband, and we have six children. My oldest being a sophomore in college, and then the next one is a senior in high school, and then so on down to the little ones. So my challenge is, and that was about 4 years ago that she moved in with us. So my challenge now, if you will, is to try to maintain relationships, positive relationships. It's very difficult to have two family members, you know, two separate families, if you will, living in the same household. And I love my mother dearly. I mean, she's a beautiful, beautiful individual. But she has a different set of parenting rules, if you will, and all that other good stuff. So it's not just taking care of her and her health needs and things like that, but it's also the social aspect that comes into play when, if you have a parent that lives with you and you're actually like combining the households, there's a challenge with the different parenting styles if there's children involved and what have you, as well as other factors. So I'm kind of playing a middleman between helping my husband to maintain a positive outlook. And, you know, he's always been very supportive, but he's kind of getting stretched to his limits, but as well as knowing that it's my mother that, you know, I adore and that I have to take care of. So that's kind of the challenge that I face. And I've tried to been doing my best, but do you have any helpful tips to try and maintain that positive relationship while, you know, you have the elderly living with you and you're trying to take care of them as well as children yourself?
Andrea, thank you very much for the call, because this was a subject I really hoped we'd get to. We talk an awful lot about the financial aspects, but I think there are the emotional, you know, the family stuff, too, that gets affected. So thanks very much for the call. Well, Ellen, I'll start with you on that one.
It's I can certainly appreciate the challenge that your situation creates, and I think, although it sounds too simplistic, I think really the solution to this is being able to have very open and honest communication, both between you and your mom and you and your husband about the situation, and kind of laying it all out there with mom and explaining the stresses that are created when different parenting styles, and in a kind but firm way, kind of talking about the it is your home, and it's necessary for you to be able to be in charge there while being still very respectful of her and listening to her, but helping her understand so that you can be functioning as a team instead of kind of creating strife in that situation.
How much of that, though, and June, I'll draw you in on this, too, for lack of a better term, is kind of internalized. I mean, I can hear Andrea's story and think, okay, in that situation, yeah, I realize it's, you know, it's my home, and particularly with my children, my wife and I have to be the authority figures. You know, we have to provide that structure. On the other hand, I really don't want to be the authority figure with my parents. I want them to be my parents. I don't want to be trying to tell them what to do or establishing codes of conduct for them or any of the other things that sort of come with parenting. So that creates kind of, I would think, a dissonance.
I think that's absolutely right. And so you're dealing with a situation where you've had a certain role or relationship to your adult parent for all of your life. And this new situation is flipping that to a certain extent. And I think that's very stressful. It's very difficult to navigate. I don't think there are any silver bullet answers, but I do think that what Ellen suggested as far as the open communication, we know that's very challenging, particularly if you've been in a relationship with a parent where they've been the figure of authority your entire life, to be able to, you know, negotiate with them about what needs to happen and how to make this work for the best of everyone can be very challenging. And I do think that's part of the stress that the sandwich generation is dealing with that does tend to manifest itself in things like, increased depression and lack of sleep and things like that, because these are difficult
sleep,
humans. Exactly. How could you sleep when you've got teenagers and mom at home at the same time? I mean, that's a lot to deal with. So so these are very challenging human situations and very difficult to work through.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by sending us an email at WFYI.org. You can connect with us, as Kara has done, via Facebook, or you can connect with us via Twitter at WFYI, or you can call us at 1-866-476-3881. Kara says, I've got a great resource that is often not known about is the local councils on aging that are located in each county. Marion County has SECOA, which assists with elderly and disabled. They have a wonderful resource center. She gives the URL. It's http://www.secoa.org/. Ellen, you're nodding your head. Mm-hmm. Is it a great resource?
Yes, and oftentimes, while most of us know a lot about the resources and things that are available for our kids through our schools or faith-based organizations or the YMCA, whatever that might be, we're kind of inundated with information about activities and resources for our children. On the flip side of that, many people approach me and say, you know, this situation is happening with my mom. I just don't know where to turn for resources. And I would certainly echo the area agencies on aging. There are 16 of them across the state of Indiana, and every area has an area agency on aging. And if you Google that and go on the internet and just type in area agency on aging and your county, it'll come up. And those organizations exist for that purpose. They're resource centers, an aging and disability resource center. They have people whose job it is to help individuals who are having these sorts of challenges figure out what kind of resources are available for all sorts of different challenges, whether it's transportation or food or in-home care, et cetera. So a really excellent resource.
Kristen, welcome to the program.
Hello. I want to give a shout-out to my colleagues, June and Ellen. In fact, I represent Indiana's 16 area agencies on aging. And I called in to basically say what Ellen just said. But I did also want to add that all the area agencies on aging also offer caregiver programs. So for your previous caller who was trying to navigate just the human relationships and needing support, the area agencies have programs for caregivers. The area agencies on aging serve people of all ages, whether or not you're the person in need of assistance or you're the caregiver or loved one trying to help your family navigate the issues. And if There's a simple website you can go to find the agency serving your county. It's www.i, and then you type out four A's, IAAAA.org, and you'll be able to find the area agency.
Could you give that again? Could you give the URL again, Kristen?
Sure. It's www.iaaaa.org. And through that, you'll be able to find the Area Agency on Aging that specifically serves your county, including their complete contact information, website, phone numbers, et cetera.
Thanks very much for the call and the information, Kristen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Certainly. We've also gotten an email question from a listener named Kelly. It's more a comment. I am a caregiver for mother, and I was able to go through hospice for assistance because she qualified under the failure to thrive category due to her weight and body mass. Medicare pays for the in-home health aide to come in for approximately 1 to 2 hours daily, and they also have volunteers who will provide respite care. It's been a huge help for us. June, I'm going to say I'm assuming these are not uncommon challenges for AARP. Are you a good clearinghouse for people, whatever their challenge, just to call, even if you can't provide the help, can you point them in the right direction?
Absolutely, to refer them. And very frequently, honestly, in these situations where we're dealing with long-term care, our first point of referral is to the area agencies on aging. But I think the challenge that a lot of folks deal with when they're dealing with parents who are dealing with medical situations like this one is that the laws and the regulation, where you're talking about Medicare, you're talking about some assistance that might be provided through the state, that can be difficult to navigate and understand what your options are and what coverages are available for your parents' individual circumstances. And that's why reaching out to the area agencies, because they've got that information and they can really help you navigate those situations.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I have a question regarding aging parents who are legal guardians of a special needs person and what types of challenges occur there on that type of situation. And I'm just hang up here and listen to your answers on the phone.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Paul. June?
Well, that is a situation that we hear about from our members fairly regularly, and there are unique challenges involved when oftentimes when we are caregiving for someone, we have a reasonable expectation that we will outlive that individual. But when you have a different expectation that probably the person receiving care is probably going to outlive the caregiver, that creates a whole different set of stresses. And our caller may very well already be connected, but if he's not, to reach out to the ARC of Indiana that does a lot of advocacy and support, information and education for families that are dealing with taking care of family members with special needs.
June, you say you get a lot of calls on things like that. What are the most common stressors for this sandwich? I mean, have you broken it down in terms of the numbers? What are the things that people are concerned about or worried about or complain about the most?
Right. Well, we get a lot of calls from people who are just frustrated with trying to understand, as I mentioned earlier, what the different programs are, whether they're eligible, how they can get help, how they can get connected. And then I think there's a whole emotional overlay. We did a series of events this summer that we called Caregiver Connect, where we brought in family caregivers in communities around the state. And we gave them some good information and then also gave them, there were chair massages and some relaxation, some yoga things available to them to just help them relax and rejuvenate a little bit. But they were stressed. They were tired. They were worn out from some of the challenges of dealing with this. And then I think many of these families are also dealing with financial stressors as well that just sort of add to the mix. So all of those things are things that we hear regularly.
Ellen, we had a caller who didn't want to go on the air, who was asking a question about basically how she should find time for herself with these. If I can broaden that a little bit and just say, what things should people who are in the sandwich generation do to take care of themselves? What kinds of things?
Finding time for yourself and to take care of yourself and to provide yourself with some respite is is such a huge challenge, and it's easy to talk about and it's hard to do. I think that being very diligent about scheduling time, accepting help. Many people have a very difficult time when somebody says, what can I do to help you? Can I, could I watch the kids? Could I come over and sit with mom? Say yes. Say yes. Accept that kind of help, because what you need to realize is that if you're stressed and you're not functioning at your best, you're not being a very good caregiver on either side, either for your parents or for your children. And so being able to carve out that time for yourself, and it's all the things that we know, eating right, trying to get enough sleep, carving out some time every day for exercise, making sure that you're taking care of your own medical needs, getting away so you can have some time to just kick back and relax, even if it's getting away for an hour and going upstairs to the bathroom and having a bubble bath and relaxing, even if it's within your home. But taking that time and making sure that you're taking care of yourself both physically, emotionally, and socially to be able to do that. And again, it takes really diligent effort to do that, because what you don't feel like you have any time for is yourself. And so, unfortunately, you get cut out of the mix sometimes.
Well, that listener who didn't want to go on the air had a second part to the question, which is, you know, it sounds like she knows all of those things.
Right.
But feels guilty about doing it. How do you, you know, do you do that? How do you say, okay, I'm going to feel okay about this, June?
I try to encourage caregivers to think about it in terms of the greater good for the person that they're taking care of, because it's, you know, it's sort of like the airplane analogy, that when the oxygen masks drop, you know, the adult puts on the mask first and then takes care of the children around them. And you're in that situation as a caregiver as well. You've got to take care of yourself, because if you get run down or your health starts to be compromised, as we know it often does among caregivers, then you can't be doing the job that we know that you're trying to do. And recent AARP research suggests that 40% or fewer of caregivers ask for help from their siblings and from friends. And I would just encourage people to ask. If you don't take the step to ask, then you will be guaranteed not to get the support that you need. So be bold and ask, because you're not just asking for yourself, you're also asking for the loved one that you're caring for.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, we've talked a little bit about, you know, what the challenges are. What are some hopeful things here? I mean, what are things that that people in the sandwich generation, either financially or, you know, emotionally, whatever, they could do to improve the situation? Ellen, I'll start with you.
Thank you for going in that direction, because I think we oftentimes paint this as something that's, oh my gosh, it's so difficult and so stressful, and we forget to focus on the opportunities and the fun and the wonderful things that can come out of this time with both parents and children. So it's a matter of framing, trying to keep a positive attitude and looking at the opportunities that you're having, both to spend time with your parents, spend time with your children. And I think really importantly is figuring out really positive ways to help those intergenerational connections happen as well. So this is something that's wonderful for our generation. When you do have the opportunity to have parents and kids in the same household, figuring out ways, very positive ways, that they can help one another, that grandma can have some sort of special activities or roles in the home with the kids, and that the kids can learn from and enjoy and appreciate the older generation as well.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at WFYI or at nolimits@wfyi.org. My guests are June Lyle of AARP and Ellen Miller of the University of Indianapolis. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the sandwich generation, that group of Hoosiers and Americans who have children to raise or even grown children who are at home with them, and aging parents who need a little bit of help and support. My guests are June Lyle, who is with the state AARP, and Ellen Miller, who's with the University of Indianapolis' Center for Aging and Community. We were talking just before the break about things that people can do to, you know, to cope. Ellen, I'm going to take it one step back. You know, we talked about how you plan for retirement a lot more, but to some degree, you know, some of the same factors are here. You know, for example, that if you've got you're getting ready to start your family and you've got parents who are in their late 60s, there's a good chance that you could have not just financial, but perhaps some, you know, emotional responsibilities, even if your parents have prepared for themselves. What are some steps you can do to get ready to meet those responsibilities?
Well, I think one of the things that can certainly help when you find yourself in the middle of the sandwich is having a workplace or seeking out a workplace if you're if both parents are in the workforce, is really seeking out a place that appreciates the fact that flexible work schedules and things like that are something that just comes with this massive number of adults. So I think our workplaces can really either support our role in the middle of the sandwich, or they can make it terribly difficult and even more stressful for us. Mm-hmm. So I think seeking out an employer, and if there are any employers listening, certainly realizing the challenges that come with people who are serving in both of these roles with kids and adults, in being able to support and provide flexible scheduling and resources as well. So a lot of times workplaces will provide resources for kids, or they'll think about childcare, but they don't think about how they can help employees with the other end with their parents and parents who may be in need.
Let's take this from the other end too, June. Let's assume that you are in your 60s or 70s and realize, okay, at some point it looks like I'm going to have to lean a little more on my children. What steps can people in that, you know, which would be a lot of your constituents,
absolutely,
frankly,
well,
what can they do to get ready for this and to make the transition a little easier?
Well, and that's a great question, because I think what tends to happen in families is that these conversations or these thoughts don't happen until somebody is in crisis, either financially or health-wise. And so if a family can sit down and say, you know, hey, you know, Dad and I are getting up there, you know, we hope to be in great health for the next 10 to 15 years, but you know, if something should happen, you know, how do we want to manage that, and have an open conversation about both what the adult children and the folks over 65 want for themselves. And I think if families can do that, as opposed to making sudden decisions in crisis, they're much more likely to end up with a scenario that's going to work well for everybody.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the comment. I am the club sandwich generation. I have a son severely disabled by special needs, and a typical daughter. And as well, I quit my job to care for my 95-year-old great aunt for the last 6 months of her life. And I just wanted to say that everything that you've said is so on target. But I also wanted to make the comment that I'm so sorry, I'm so emotional.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Just take your time.
Having a special child, you meet so many wonderful, special people who are there not only to support the people that need the most, but also to support the caregivers themselves. And having a special child has opened us up to such an amazing and wonderful community, including people
it'll work for the Arc of Indiana. So just want to say thank you very much. This is a fabulous program.
Thank you very much for calling us, Mary. We really appreciate you sharing with us. That term, club sandwich generation, I mean, to some degree, with people living much longer, you know, the fact that Willard Scott and the Today Show stopped announcing people who had reached their 100th birthday because there are just way too many of them now, that would be the entire show, means now that this can stretch on so that it's more than three generations. You can have four, or if you have the dynamic here, as Mary did, where you're talking about, a special needs child or some other special circumstance. Is that compounding the problem, June?
It's certainly making
the challenge. I don't want to call it a problem,
right,
because these are human,
right,
beings.
Right, and in some cases it can be a blessing and a challenge at the same time. I certainly know, we work with volunteers all across the state, and some of our volunteers are actually, not only do they have their adult children in their home, but they have their grandchildren in their home that they're taking care of as well. So you can have a double decker club sandwich going on depending on what your family situation is, but. As I think the caller suggested very poignantly, there can be some tremendous blessings with the opportunity to spend that kind of time with family that we don't always get. So a challenge and a blessing at the same time.
Do we have any numbers on how many, four and five generation situations we've got? Has anybody studied that, or is it a relatively new or fresh area?
You know, I haven't seen any hard numbers recently. Anecdotally, I can tell you that grandparents raising grandchildren in the home is something that is increasing. And I think that has to do with, economic situations and then also social situations in terms of, drug abuse and some other situations that may be going on with adult children. So these multi-generational families are definitely on the rise.
And sometimes the sandwich is between the grandparent, the grandkids, and the grandparents' parents. So the great-grandparents in this case. So
it's a sandwich that skips a level or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
We are talking about the sandwich generation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Megan, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a 24-year-old full-time nursing student at IUPUI. I've already had to be a caregiver for my mother, who was dying of cancer. She passed away in February. But I'm more concerned about approaching the sandwich generation and caring for my father once he becomes of age that I need to take care of him. What are some good steps that I can do to plan for my future as well as for my father's future?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Megan.
Thank you.
June.
I would suggest sitting down with your father and talking about a number of different things, maybe starting financially in terms of, depending on his financial situation, whether purchasing long-term care insurance might be something that he would want to consider. That is an option that can really help families down the road by making sure that they have coverage for what their needs might be down the road. A lot of people assume that Medicare covers long-term care. And it can in certain limited circumstances, but by and large, it doesn't. So looking at long-term care insurance might be something to consider. Another thing you might want to do is speak to an elder law attorney and talk through some of the legal documents that you might want to have in place as far as powers of attorney and those kinds of things to ensure that you've got the legal authorities that you may need down the line. But I think the fact that you're already starting to think about this is a great sign.
Ellen.
I think something else that's important as first of all, I think it's great that you're having these thoughts and that you're planning for these things. I'd suggest that if you do have siblings, it would be great to pull the siblings into the conversation and it may be that one of you serves well in one role and another in another. Well, maybe somebody is good with the finances and somebody else is good with the healthcare piece and somebody else can provide other sorts of care.
Go ahead, Ellen.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. We've gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Joseph who says, good program, but I noticed that no one mentions the need for comprehensive universal health care in this country. Unfortunately, many poor working people die broke, destitute, because our country will not ensure that all Americans have health care, including long-term care. How often do we see that? I mean, how many it would strike me that that is sort of the nightmare scenario in this situation where you've got one generation in some ways providing the financial pillar for several, and you're one catastrophic illness away from being wiped out.
Well, there is no doubt that the fragmentation of our healthcare system makes this a lot more difficult for everybody across the generational spectrum when you're talking about the sandwich generation. And I think, you know, looking at public policy solutions to this is certainly something that we need to do, whether it is insisting that, you know, our government needs to put as much of a priority on home and community-based services as they do on funding, you know, institutional forms of care, or looking at other supports for family caregivers. One of the things AARP is working on right here in Indiana is to support a family caregiver tax credit through the state legislature, which is a small piece, but I do think that that public policy is a piece of this, and that people should get involved and make their voices heard.
Yes, Ellen.
I want to go back to Megan's question.
Sure.
Just for a second, if I may. I think we tend to think about what to do a lot and tend to forget about the where part of growing older. And so I think one of the important things to think about as you plan is where do you want to live and what kind of a community, what kind of a neighborhood, what kind of a home. So in planning for somebody who's growing older, you might be thinking about what kind of a neighborhood. Excuse me. Is it an accessible home?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a walkable neighborhood where someone can get around if there isn't transportation? Neighborhoods that tend to be friendly to older adults are also neighborhoods that tend to be friendly to families. There's green space and you can walk places. And so I think that one of the important things that we forget sometimes in this whole scenario is the where and picking a place to live for both parents and families that is going to support the kind of lifestyle that somebody wants to have.
We are talking about the sandwich generation. Gotten an email from a listener named Christina who says, I am an adult child, lucky enough to have a good job and the ability to support myself. But before then, I was a drain on my parents' resources as they worked to support my maternal grandmother who suffers from dementia. Now that I am supporting myself and my parents, only have to worry about one side of the sandwich, I struggle to find ways to return the support to my mom. It's obvious that years of caring for her mother have taken a toll on her well-being. Do you have any suggestions for providing additional support to loved ones who are caregivers?
That's a great question. Depending on her individual circumstances, I think that for caregivers, and it sounds like her mom is still in a caregiving situation. The gift of time, I think, is probably more valuable than any other gift that you can possibly give. So if you can give her an afternoon to go do something on her own, which she may be out of the habit of doing that, so you may need to twist her arm a little bit, but to give her the gift of time, knowing that, you know, her parent is going to be well taken care of while she's out of the house.
We've gotten several questions, and talked a bit about having the family conferences. What do you do when, caring for aging parents and or causes friction between adult siblings? Ellen?
It happens, I think, way more often than we would like to think. There are lots of situations that you read about and hear about where really the strife that's created through caring for aging parents really breaks a family apart, and it's unfortunate. But we didn't choose our siblings; they came along with our families, and sometimes we don't see eye to eye. But it's really that effort towards pitching in towards a common goal of making your parents' older years comfortable and effective. And I think if you can it goes back to that basic communication and making sure that everybody's on board, that everybody feels like they're a part of the decision-making process and that they can contribute what they can contribute. But sometimes it's it doesn't work out as well as we would hope.
And also, we've gotten an email question from a listener named Denise who says, well, actually, it's a comment. Hello, sandwich generation sounds very comforting. It has occurred to me, though, that now that I am in this situation, that it feels more like taffy, as you are pulled in many different ways, work, home, young adult children, and aging parents. She has some nice words to say about WFYI and our programs. Thank you very much for that, Denise. But to some degree, you know, that is a more appropriate metaphor.
Yeah, Jim. Absolutely. I mean, you are definitely in a situation where you're feeling the pull from different places. But I also like her reference to the idea of the sandwich generation being cozy. I mean, if you are in the sandwich generation, you have a rich life. It may be a complicated life, it may be a stressful life, but you've got a lot of richness in your life, and to the extent that people can embrace that, I think that's a good thing.
Kaneko, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling again to reiterate about having the conversation early. One of the things that my dad did within the last 6 months, and I'm the oldest of four children, I'm 40 years old, is he brought all of us, me and my siblings, he sat us down, and we had this discussion. So he talked about what he wanted, should he not be in a position to take care of himself the way he can now. He talked about what resources that he had available and kind of how he envisioned us using those resources and working together in terms of his care. And I just wanted to stress again how valuable I found that conversation. Again, it was all of me and my three siblings. So if something were to happen, I feel a lot better that we were all on the same page, know what his expectations are. We all heard the same thing. You know, we all took notes. And so I just can't stress enough how valuable that conversation was. And it also kind of
actually, Kaneko, we're getting a little tight on time, but it sounds like your dad's a very good man. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Well, sounds like that's exactly, if there's one takeaway from both of you, it is have the conversation, talk these things out, and have a plan. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and understand what it is that your loved one wants so that you can help execute it.
Great. June Lyle, Ellen Miller, I'd like to thank you both for this conversation. It's been fascinating, and I've really enjoyed it. I'd also like to thank all of our listeners. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Allseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producer, Jeanette Rhodes, and board engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.